And it's going to be a very important year. So it's going to be a kickoff, not a Christmas celebration, even though we do have the decorations up and all that. Okay. So this beautiful little picture here says, I have called you by name. You are mine. And that's the crux of this message, is that you belong to God.
Amen.
You are his daughter. And God has been working on me probably for the last, I would say, 30 years, trying to get that one thought into my thick skull. Because we don't hear these words. We belong to God, and we are his daughters. We're talking about God, the creator of the universe. Amen? So praise God. So this is a motto that Pastor shared many, many years ago, and it went through me like a bullet, and I have literally allowed this reality right here to form who I am, not only as a believer, but as a woman, as a mother, as a friend, certainly as a minister. And this is it. My time on the earth is for me to prove who I've chosen to be. Right now, today, whether you know this or not, or whether you agree with it or not, you're actually showing who you've chosen to be. Good or bad, right or wrong, powerful, possibly a little weak, whatever, wherever you are in life, you've chosen to be that, believe it or not. And you might say to yourself, no, I didn't, and you don't know my story. You're absolutely right, but I think when I get done explaining to you some things from God, you're going to understand that we're actually all in the same boat. We are all facing great opposition, and we all have to overcome the same amount, but possibly in different areas. And I'll explain to you this world system and how it is, but there is no person that's being targeted or bullied or picked on, or pushed on. We are all actually here to overcome and to prove who we've chosen to be. Amen. Thank you for that. So our earthly journey does not truly begin until we understand the mind of God in regards to the very purpose of our existence in the first place. Why was I chosen to be here? Why am I here and at this time particularly? What did God put in me as his precious earthen vessel? He's made me a capsule that was sent to the earth full of his beautiful gifts and talents. Just what are the treasures that he delighted in putting into me? And with all that God has equipped me with, what is my God-given potential then? What is your God-given potential? Not your own given potential. Some of you are rocking it. Some of you are excelling. That's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about God tonight. You know, this is a church function, so we have to bring God. Not that we have to. We want to bring God into this whole topic. Amen? And keep him as the focus here. Not asking these preliminary questions and not having an understanding of the glorious ways of God will ultimately lead us to many consequences that are not his will for us at all. Primarily, we will feel like our life is not quite right. Things will feel off to us. We struggle with a general dissatisfaction. This is because we are not truly connected to God and the amazing future that he has planned for us. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know, God already knows the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So, first of all, God already made up his mind about me. His resolve is fixed regarding me. God's not going to turn around tomorrow, Angie, and say, you know what, I've given you a good future, but you know what, I'm changing my mind here. And especially because I don't think you're all that worth it right now. He never takes back once he has spoken. Amen. It is fixed forever and ever. So given this, just this one thought here, should we ever allow ourselves to feel lost and without any hope, without any joy in our lives? God's trying to set us free, people. As women, we suffer a lot in our heart and in our soul, a lot more than men do. Men see life very straightforward. They are nonsensical. It's like, okay, this is brass tacks. You ought to hear them when they're here. It is the cutest thing in the universe. They will talk about their favorite coffee house for half an hour. Oh, dude, I found this cool coffee house. Really? Hook me up, bro. Where are you going? I'm going over here. Oh, I've never gone there. And they spend half an hour talking about coffee. And for us, we're like, oh, yeah, man, I'm having issues with this child and, oh, man, at work. And, you know, we just get deep really fast into the things that are going on in our lives. So honestly, people, God, in this message, he is going to try to cut some of the weights that are bringing you down. We should be so excited. Rachel, I love your hair. Sorry, I just saw it. I love it. Okay. God has already made up his mind about me. His resolve is fixed regarding me. God's not going to change his mind regarding these next points. He has destined me for peace, for shalom peace. And shalom peace, you talk to any Jewish person, they will tell you that shalom is the greatest gift God ever gave man. It is replete with blessings left and right, including great health, good health, happiness, prosperity, you name it, we've been given it. God has given you his shalom. I can give Michelle a gift, and she can leave it there where I gave it to her and not do anything with it, which I know she wouldn't. She's too precious for that. But, you know, that's what we've done. God has spoken things over us, and we say, amen, amen, that's right. And then we leave it right there. He wants you to take him seriously this year because he's taking you seriously this year. This is a pivotal year for you. Thank you. That was almost like a little wave that reached us. So, God has not designed me to experience any kind of evil. None whatsoever. He has not assigned evil to you. He is not planning some pitfall, some disease, some horrible relationship to teach you anything at all. God doesn't use this world and our experiences to teach us anything. He's hoping we'll learn from it so that we don't keep hurting ourselves. But how does he teach us, people? His word. God uses his word to teach us. He has a beautiful future for me, so I am a person of great destiny. You are a person of destiny. Amen. Stop being in a boat aimlessly, letting the waves just, oh, now the wind's blowing this way. Oh my God, now it's blowing this way. Oh my God, this wave was really big. We have a destiny. We have a goal here that we can reach with God. I am not living this life without any hope. God has given me all hope. And you know, we all reach places in our life where we run out of hope. We're like, oh my God, this is horrible. I'm tired. I'm done. Whether if it's with the child you're trying to raise, whether if it's work, I'm so done. But God keeps sending you a lifesaver called hope. Hope is an expectation. What is it, Mary? It's one of your favorite words. An expectation of good. Yes. A cheerful expectation of good. That's why in James he says, count it all joy when you enter into trouble. Why? Because we have hope. What's our hope? the word that God will absolutely deliver us from anything we face. Amen? Yes. Amen? Amen. He is our Father. He is the one that meticulously formed us and loved us long before we ever took on flesh. I don't know if you know this, but you existed in heaven as a spirit. That's why you being down here was very designated by God. There's a reason you're here. There is a reason you're here. You're not here to be a tourist. You know, I once went on a missionary trip to Mexico with a beautiful, precious lady, one of my favorite people in the whole world to this day. But we were on a missionary trip, and this person took a bikini, sunglasses, tanning lotion, a big hat. And the lady that we went with that was the missionary looked at her and she started laughing so much because she's like, what is that? And she's like, well, you know, we're here in Mexico and, you know, there's a lot of beautiful. And she's like, we're here on a missionary trip. Amen. So I don't know how I got off on that. Oh, yeah. We're not on the case. Thank you, Lisa. You can help me today. I am so healed, guys. I don't know if it's the wind. I'm going to blame it on the wind, okay? Please. But I had today, if honest, truly, if Bill, I even told him, I said, I'm going to give you $20 for helping me. Because if it hadn't been for him, I don't know. I really don't know. But we're not here on vacation. This is a very exciting time for you. You get to rock it as far as you can take it. And there are no limits to where you can go in the things of God. Amen. There's no such a thing as, oh, well, you're healthy enough. I'm just going to stop there with you. You're done. No, you can be as healthy. The Lord renews our youth like the eagle. We can be youthful again. You got to hang on to these things. Amen. Because this world will absolutely wipe you out and say, bye, you're done. See ya. We got to fight. Amen. So, like all that he creates, he formed you in his mind and heart first. He meditated on you and who you were to be, and then he spoke you into existence at the very instant of your conception. Truth, you came from the mouth of God. Amen. I need you to understand that. Unless God breathes a spirit into something, it can't live. You were spoken out of the very mouth of God. How much more beautiful and powerful can you be? Your identity is from him. This is where we've gotten lost, people. We're identifying with our mothers. In fact, they wrote a book in the late 1970s, My Mother, Myself. Because we identify with her. She was our first role model. She was there every day. We saw how she operated. And to an extent, if you could pick anything good, that's what I've learned to do, people. With ministers, with my mom, with my dad, with anybody around me, I learn the good. And I say, oh my God, that's a beautiful quality. I want that. But my identity is not lost in any human being, and it should not be yours at all. That's right. Your identity should be with God. Where are you going? When this world is over, where are you going? Heaven. To see who? Jesus. To see God. We're going to stand before God. Is he even going to know you? Like, I created you and you departed from me. Where were you all this time? I'm going to do my best to connect you to God like never before. Amen. Because if you're not connected to God, I'm going to bless you, and you don't have to come back. And the next time, you just go about your merry life, and then we'll see how people end at the end of their lives. I want my life to count. I want my life to set people on fire. I want to be an example of a woman that had, you don't even know what I've overcome. I had a sister who told me in church, They couldn't be here tonight. But she told me, she said, Eva, I've been watching you for years. She said, and you have given me so much hope because you keep overcoming. I've almost died 3 times in my life, bona fide, where it was like no hope to live. And I'm here. I'm going to continue to be here. And I want you to get a vision for yourself of how you want to be known. At the end of your life, there is a tally. Oh, this person was great at this. Oh, this person was awesome. They were very popular. Oh, this person was so much fun. Oh, this person, man, they could drink like a sailor. Oh, my God, this person. What are they going to say about you? Honestly, I went to a funeral of one of my uncles in Texas, and people were sobbing hysterically as he was laying there. It was an open casket. And they're like, this man changed my life. You don't understand what he did for me. I was able to help my family and my extended family. This man made all the difference in my world. Whose life are you making a difference in? And how? And how are we making a difference in their life? Are we helping them? Are we encouraging them? Or are we breaking their heart every time they're around us? You are a daughter. In his mind and heart, in the mind of God, in his heart, you are his daughter. Now, I want you to repeat this with me. I came from the mouth of God. Therefore, my true identity
is from him.
In his mind and heart,
I am a daughter of the King.
Yeah, when you start believing that, your life is going to change drastically. Amen. Drastically. And the day has come where we've got to put our money where our mouth is. We call ourselves believers. We call ourselves Christians. We call ourselves a child of God. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that you came from the mouth of God? I believe that with all my heart. God actually told me that. I can't give you the story right now because it's a long story, but he told me that. He said, Eva, nothing can live unless I breathe a spirit into it. Amen. You're alive. Turn to the person on each side and tell them, you're alive. Psalms 139:14. For you have formed me in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully, reverentially made. He was reverential when he created you. He didn't take it lightly. He didn't throw a pile of clay and said, there, Monica, go to the earth, be a person. He reverentially thought of you, Monica. He meditated on you. What giftings am I going to give this child that she will love and she will take to the hilt and it'll bring honor to her and to me? Reverentially made. Marvelous are your works, which means wondrous. Things too high. Miraculous. You are a walking miracle for God. Nobody can replicate a human life with a spirit. Nobody can. You're miraculous. You're a high thing. You're not a low, common person. And the day we stop treating ourselves as common is when we're going to get the respect and the love and the place that we crave so much. We demand it. You will respect me. Did you know that respect is earned? It is earned. In fact, all of good things in life, the love from others, you know, we demand it, we crave it, we want it, we take it, when it should be flowing out of them naturally in honor. and in love for you. And that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought, put together in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they are all written, every part of your body and your life and who you are is being kept in a record. God never loses track of his creation. He even knows when a sparrow falls from the and dies. He knows every hair on your head. Some of us are getting a little sparse, and so he's remembering less and less. But and in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious, which means weighty, valuable, and prized, also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I wake up, I am still with you. So until we come to God and begin to ask him the questions that need to be answered so that we can finally find genuine meaning, purpose, and direction in this life, then our only outcome is that we will remain aimless as a spirit being and even more so in our everyday life. You know, my sisters, I don't know if you know this, but your life is written on your face. I see when there's just a flicker of life in you. I see when you're ablaze. I see when you are hopeful. I see where you are desiring to break out of this place that I'm in. I want more. I want to be more. I want to see more in my life. This is absolutely true because God's interaction with us. Now listen carefully, please. This is absolutely true because God's interaction with us is greatly attached to our purpose. For a very short temporary while, we're here to accomplish something eternal. You're here temporarily to accomplish eternal. Do you understand that? We're here to affect this world in a supernaturally powerful way. Yes, you were created for purpose. The reason we are here is for purpose. Everything God creates has a purpose. Everything, people. A blade of grass. It's all an ecosystem. Without you, we're going to be lacking. Without you and your families, they would be lacking. You are part of something that God carefully put together. Every blade of grass, every bird, and you name it, it all serves a purpose. You serve a purpose. I'll just give you this for free now. One of the purposes that you have is to be rivers of living water everywhere you go. To unleash life everywhere you go. Just life and light and energy. All of creation serves a purpose, but this is a divine purpose that's been genetically imprinted on our spirit, soul, and body. So inside of you, God stamped you with that purpose. All of you have it. Jill, you have it. Rhonda, you have it. Imelda, you have it. We all have been stamped with a purpose that we're not ever going to shake. Whether we ever attend to it, whether we ever fulfill it, whether we reject it or whether we fully accept it, you've been imprinted with God's purpose for your life. Amen. And let me tell you something. With God, you will love what you do and you will do what you love. We were being groomed to be in the Board of Education at UCI, Bill and I. This one guy, Manuel Gomez, he was very, very important in that time that we were there. And he told us, he said, we're looking at both of you. Bill, because he was a white guy that spoke Spanish better than me. And, you know, he said, we're going to groom you. You guys are awesome. You guys are people of the community. We were working with Escuelita. We were doing all kinds of things at UCI. And I think, you know, that would have been a very fulfilling life, becoming an educator, possibly becoming a principal, and then going on to the Board of Education, politics. I don't know what was going to happen. But I will tell you right now, at the age of 73, that I wouldn't change my life for all the money and status in the world. Because nothing is more fulfilling than being right with God.
Amen.
Nothing is more fulfilling. And when we are not yet tapped into that purpose, it creates a profound unrest. I'm going to answer some questions for you tonight, but I need you to have an open mind and an open heart. This is the track. It's like we're supposed to, what is this life called? A
race.
Race. So we're supposed to be climbing these hurdles. Some of us are like, yay, I'm going to run. Uh-oh, a hurdle. Nope. And we quit. And so I'm going to show you how God trained me to be the person I am. You may never be a minister. You may never teach the Bible. But whatever you do, it's going to be incredibly important and something that you're going to love. You are going to love. You're going to identify with it and say, oh my God, no wonder. When I was barely 9 years old, I was tutoring kids in a neighborhood in El Paso, Texas. I loved it. I loved helping with, it was math. And I was sitting there, little 9-year-old, and you do 5 plus 4. And I was so excited, and I never knew it was because it's my purpose to teach. Whatever your purpose is, God may have called you to be a business person, but as you rise up, you're bringing God with you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Whatever it is that you're going to be doing, you're going to bring God with us. And if you don't believe me, look at people like Elvis Presley. Phenomenal. He was the king of music. Look at Michael Jackson, for that matter, the second king of music. They reached the top, the apex of where they could go. And they were miserable and unfulfilled and very lost. Because they left God behind. We want to take God with us. If you're smart, you want to take God with you, no matter what it is that you're doing.
Amen.
It creates a profound unrest, a vacuum, and a feeling of incompleteness, a feeling that something is missing, as we vainly attempt to formulate a life without God. It is His will for us that gives us an ordained, anointed, and exciting, meaningful life. Most of humanity, no matter how successful in the natural they may be, are simply left building a life that ends up being one endless routine, leaving the heart of man full of dissatisfaction, emptiness, and even regret. Show me a person that ends their life in regret, or that's living a life with regret, and I'll show you a person who has not tapped into their purpose. Because one thing about purpose, and let's keep going, because I'm going to bring something up, and I need you to be brave. Say, I am brave.
I am brave.
Because I'm going to speak the truth to you right now, in a minute. I'm going to refocus you in wisdom, and again, guys, been there, done that with God. He and I have gone toe-to-toe. Oh, yeah, God, I don't think so. I know you know everything, but I'm not so sure about this situation here. And He has brought me through, showing me the truth, showing me the truth. I have to tell you, my eyes are open. My eyes are open. That's one of the blessings of seeking God so much as Bill and I have, is that I am not fooled anymore to understand that this life is a completely different thing than what we've made it to be. We will feel lost without our God-given purpose. I am convinced, now this is where, say, I am brave.
I am brave.
Okay, here we go. I am convinced, personally, and again, this is something God showed me. I am convinced that most of the misery we suffer in life is because we are not where we're supposed to be.
Amen.
Two amens. We hurt deeply, so we blame. Subconsciously, not consciously. You're not sitting there going, oh man, I'm playing games with God here. I'm not even turning to him, but you know what? I'm going to blame him, my husband. You know, we don't think this, but guess what? That's what we do. Subconsciously, we might blame our childhood. We might blame the poor beginnings we had in an impoverished life. We might blame family. We might blame our mate. We might blame our kids and all the challenges and heartbreak they sometimes bring. Can I have an amen, mothers?
Amen.
We might blame others for failing us. We might even blame ourselves and even live in regret because of the choices we've made. But in the end, it was that we were in the wrong place. We're trying to fit a round shape into a square mold. We belong to God, my sisters. And you don't have to believe me until the day you cross over. Then you'll know. Oh my God. Oh my God. But why wait till then? Why? Why not be real now? Why not be wise now? Why not open up your eyes now?
Amen.
I was one of the most miserable wives and mother. My life looked like a wreck. It's like, this is not what I wanted. And I did. I blamed my husband for not meeting my needs. I'm a woman. I need this, this, and this, and this. And my kids, you need to respect me. I'm your mother. When you are completely given to your purpose, you don't have to ask for those things. They come to you. They will come to you. The very thing I always craved. My husband is freely giving to me now. Because I'm no longer leeching off of people around me, trying to fill the hole that only God can fit.
Amen.
It's not your life. There are people that are so poor people, they sleep on the floor and they are happier than ever because they are with God. And they love God. And we have so much here, people. I wish you would go to, well, I went to Russia four times in the 1990s, and I wish you would have seen how those people lived. They had just come out of the dictatorship from Lenin, from Stalin, from one of them. And it was incredible how they lived. Two or three families in a two-bedroom place, that the stoves were all lit, all of them were this big, all of them. One family that I got to know, the father slept with the son and the daughter slept with the mom because they had no room. And they were serving God and they were so incredibly happy. And we have it all and we're miserable. What's missing here, people? What's the common denominator? We're looking to our husbands. We're looking to our children to fulfill something that only God can give you. And he will let you suffer. That's why people do die in regret. It's because you never bothered to think a little bit. Why am I here? Is there a God? I feel for you. That's why I'm talking to you like this. And God wants you to break the place you're in this year. Amen. It's time to bust out, people. Amen. What are we waiting for? Honestly, what are you waiting for? Ooh, I have some quotes that are going to be giving you pankings. You're going to get pankings. So, this creates great frustration and despair, and we might blame everything and everyone, not knowing that our pain is because we are simply living a counterfeit life, and our spirit knows this. Your spirit will nag you to death. You're off. You're off. You need to come back. God loves you. He's calling you. No need to suffer. And we just plow through. You know what that's called? Hardening your heart. When you don't listen to that quiet voice saying, you're meant for more. You're meant for more. You're meant for honor. You're meant for greatness. Every single one of you were sent here by God. By God. Our pain comes from missing the mark, from failing our purpose, from squandering this precious time we've been given on the earth. This pain has very little to do with those variables in our life that we consider our woes and our problems. We blame it on the husband. We blame it on the kids. We blame it on the neighborhood. We blame it on the car we own. We blame it on our job. We blame it on the fact that my mom ate so badly that look at me now. I learned her ways. We're blaming everything and not understanding that we're in pain because we're missing God. We're missing God. The hard truth is that we are not living according to the blueprint in our spirit, and deep within our spirit, we know that in the eyes of God, we are living a counterfeit life. We are living a counterfeit life. My time on the earth is all about becoming, first becoming versus first achieving. This is another hard thing to face, but the men take it like men. Let's take it like men, amen? Let's take it like a man. This is what God, our Creator and Father, is looking at. God's ways normally run contrary to how the world operates. And listen, we all, this was a system we all grew up in. There's no shining star that, oh, I got it right from the beginning. And, oh, no, we all are in the same boat. Because Satan became the god of our world. But God is looking at the inside of our being where our heart and our true loves exist. God is looking at your heart and what you love most. He's not too impressed with the outside world we create, like mankind often does. In the world, our looks, our status, our wealth, our popularity, our perfect imaged life is what brings us any honor or notoriety. If you achieve these things, then you are a success according to the world. You will be admired and envied. You will be given honor, and all of humanity certainly strives for that. The confusion comes because certainly we have to work, and it's a good thing to have a career and to make a living for ourselves and our families. And it's okay to try to look your best. It's okay to want to have a great life and a great family. But God has divine priorities for our lives. Yet we are distracted from God and His divine order because the world programs us very early on to hit the ground running, to become somebody, to become great in society, to have wealth and security and so on. However, God wants you to focus greatly on becoming a powerful person, eternal being, full of divine purpose, character, and eternal fruit. This world taught us to get the cart before the horse. Yeah, it's like, no, go to school, get educated, more programming, and then make yourself successful, be somebody, be proud of who you are. That's awesome. None of that is wrong. If anything, it brings honor to God that, look, at least I did. I took my one talent and made business with it. It's not wrong. I'm not knocking that. But what we did was we focused all on the outside and we forsook the inside. Who are you? What is your character like? How close are we to God? How real is God to us? What is your real impact? We can force people to do things. But when they watch you and they model, it's like that person that told me, I'm serious, look, they suffer tremendously in their bodies. And this woman told me, she said, Eva, I keep going because I see everything you've overcome. You give me hope and I'm going. I'm following in your footsteps. I'm not forcing that person. No, you got to overcome. You got to overcome. You got to be. No, just who are we? What is your impact truly? God sees the big picture. And his word warns us that all these things that this world programs us to go after will be left behind. Let's put a perspective here, guys. Please. We've done many funerals. Many funerals. And it is the hardest thing to see that people used all their energy force, all their time on the earth to climb, to be better, to have all this. And the minute they die, it's no longer theirs, and they leave it all behind. And now the one thing that's going to be eternal is what they're taking to God. What are we taking to God? What are we taking to God? Are we daughters of Sarah? God made me a daughter of Sarah. He told me many years ago. He said, Eva, because Sarah at 90 was so beautiful that a king wanted her. And I don't even care about that. I'm going to do my best because you have to stare at me. I'm going to try to look decent. Amen. I always think that. It's like those poor people have to stare at me, so I'm going to try. Okay, let's comb the hair, you know. But it wasn't my goal to be the prettiest because I know enough, especially from the word in Proverbs, that beauty is vain. It's deceitful. You know how many beautiful people in the world that are empty shells make it in this world? God sees the big picture, and his word warns us that all these things that this world programs us to go after will be left behind. When this chapter of our existence on the earth is over, and people, understand me, I know every day it feels forever sometimes. Oh my God, this was an eternity today. It's just a small chapter. Did you know that books are being written of you in heaven? I hope you know this. I can show you the scripture. What is your book like? Does it have 2 pages? Is it a beautiful volume? Oh my God, look at this person. They've prayed for so many. Look at, they were good to this person. They were good to, what's in your book? These are questions I ask myself, people. Eva, what does your book look like? Books, it says volumes are being written about our lives. Some of you have one skinny little book up there, but you still have time. You're still here. You're still here. You can do it. I believe in you. I do. I wouldn't talk to you like this. Ladies, please, I hope you understand this. I so respect you. I am treating you as equals. I am treating you as very valiant spirits that have made it this far. When this chapter of our existence on the earth is over, we will not take a single penny of our wealth. We will not be known in heaven as the CEO or owner of our company. We will not take our big homes or our expensive jewelry, and we will not be given a special place at the marriage feast of Christ because of who we were on the earth. I told God, I said, God, I don't care if I'm a gardener in heaven. I just want to make it. I want to be there. I don't care about no mansion even. Well, maybe. No, I don't care about no mansion. Make me a little shack. I'll be the gardener. I'll make beautiful. I have a green thumb. And I'll plant roses for you, Father. I'll do anything. I just want to be with you.
Amen.
Amen. I just want to be with you. So even though it is okay to accomplish much and it is okay to desire to be financially well off, it really is, guys. God promises prosperity. God promises to raise us up. God promises, he says, I don't hide a light under a bushel. He wants to lift you up. He wants to bring you honor. Those things are not bad. But we got the horse before the cart. Oh, thank you, ladies. My goodness. We may not know scriptures, but we know that saying. So it's okay to be financially well off. We must never forget that in God there is and always will be a divine order. Build the inner world so that the outer world will be a mere and natural reflection of what you've become spiritually and not the other way around. Amen. We're letting that reflect who we are. Let this reflect what's out here. Right now, we have Christians who are still very natural, very carnally minded, who are trying to walk with a God who sees things very differently from this world. They are trying to fit God into their well-established lives and the things that they've very arduously built here on the earth. In other words, God bless what I've built instead versus, build me, this is God speaking, build me into you first, and I will bless what you and I will build together in covenant as partners as a true and awesome and authentic life for you. Sooner or later, as a believer, we must all ask ourselves at some point, when I leave this earth, what am I taking to God? My great earthly accumulations and accomplishments and my awesome place in the food chain? Or am I taking a beautiful, magnificent, godly, evolved spirit that is full of grace, truth, and power? Why is accomplishing the inner work of our spirit more critical than the outer world of our flesh so important to God, to us, and to all those in our spheres, and even to our eternity itself? We must realize that out of who I am as a person now, right now in this lifetime, I am determining what kind of Christian, what kind of woman, what kind of wife, what kind of mother, what kind of career woman, what kind of friend, and generally the kind of impact I am having everywhere I go. You are creating your world based on who you are on the inside. When I was 20, I married a man that was completely ungodly. He just loved to party. He was very wealthy. He loved, oh my gosh, long story, but the guy had everything in the natural. To be honest with you, he even treated me way better than Bill does treat me now. This guy was, I was his queen. He worshiped me. But at 20, I made the decision to marry this man because that's who I was. 3 years later, I'm 24. I became a Christian. I left the convent. I went to college. I started educating myself and I meet Bill. And Bill made sense to me at that age, because I had changed and I had grown. This is true. When you were 4 years old, you were making decisions about your life, how you were going to be, the kind of kid you were in school, and so on. Now as an adult, you've changed, and now you're building your world out of this. We build our world based on who we are. And you can't shake that. And we want to say to ourselves, no, it's the jerk I married. No, it's the kids that don't understand me. No, it's the fact that we don't have enough money. We want to blame everything instead of realizing that we are at least 50% responsible in our homes with our mates. But we want to blame them. You're failing me. You're making me miserable. I should have never married you. You chose them. You chose them. Unless they held a gun to your head, you chose them. It's accountability time. It is accountability time. Matthew 12:33, either make the tree good and its fruit good. This is Jesus speaking to us. Or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. You are known by your fruit. You are not kidding anybody. But you don't understand. My life has been this. And my life, you know, and people, I have equal trauma like you. I'm not making light of the things that we've gone through. But you know how many women blame the trauma of their childhood and how people failed them, and they carry that with them all their lives? They literally turn their life over, their future over, their character over to that. Oh, I have so many testimonies, but I... Brood of vipers, snakes, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasures, brings forth evil things. Galatians 6:7, if you don't believe me, that you're equally yoked to the life you're living right now. You don't like your life? Change. Change. Amen. You change and everything around you will change. Amen. Amen. So, Galatians 6:7 in the Amplified. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. He will not allow himself to be ridiculed nor treated with contempt, nor allow his precepts to be scornfully set aside. For whatever a man sows, this and this only is what he will reap. Now it comes back to us. What are you sowing? We want a beautiful garden and we're planting thorns. Because that's what we carry inside. You change the inside, you're going to start planting beautiful flowers, beautiful trees, all these amazing things. Galatians 6:7 in the Message. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. And it is my job this year. I don't care if next time when we meet, I have 2 people, I have 5 people. I pray you all come back. That's your call. But my job is to connect you to God so that he can start that real growth inside of you. Amen. If we believe in the rapture, people, we better be getting ready. We can't look like the world, smell like the world, talk like the world, act like the world, and think we're going. God doesn't need our garbage up there. This is why we are on the earth. I'm going to explain some things to you guys in the next time we meet that's going to explain to you why we're here on the earth. God is so brilliant and so smart. This is our time to purge. Because look at what happened with Satan up there. In the very presence of God. Look at what happened with Adam and Eve. He's not going to let that happen again. This is why this is no game. This is why we must start the process, the work. If you get one thing right, my sisters, just one thing, and you live it, God will be so well pleased with you than if you never even started. Start. Start. We're going to start. I'm going to walk you through. We're going to start journaling our progress. We're going to start being accountable to the Holy Spirit. We're going to grow up. Amen. We're going to grow up. We're going to leave the self-pity behind. We're going to leave the past behind. And it's going to be us and God, just God and us. Our life right now reflects who we are on the inside. It reflects where most of our concentrated efforts have gone to, the natural or the spiritual. I am tied to the life I've created through who I am. You're tied to it. You're not going to escape it. If it's a good life, glory to God. God bless you, my sister. But if you are like, this ain't fine for me, then it's time to untie yourself from what you've built and start building new. One of the things I'm going to encourage you in next time we meet is that it is never too late.
Amen.
Never, ever, ever, ever.
Amen.
Dude, if you have failed in relationships, understand one thing. People are getting married in their 80s now and living the best life ever. Yeah. Jill. Oh my God, girl, you're so beautiful and so young still. Well, honestly, guys. There you go. So, the next thing is Swords truly believes that this time on the earth is an extremely holy and sacred time. So much so that we should make each day count. Hold yourself accountable, please. What good thing did you do today for yourself? What scripture did you hang on to and say, this is mine?
Amen.
I'm going to become this scripture. When God told me I was going to be a daughter of Sarah, it literally says that we can become daughters of Sarah if we face the future without fear. So one of the first things that I had to get rid of was the fear. What's going to happen to this world? What's going to happen to our economy? What's going to happen to my kids? What's going to happen to my marriage? Let go of the fear. Nothing ages you quicker than fear. Nothing. I just watch now. I am very intuitive. And I watch the fear on people's faces, and you see them age, literally shrivel up before you as the years go on. We were never meant to lose our femininity. We were never meant to lose our womanhood, our beauty. Those are ours. They've been given to us. Right, Faith? God has handed to us a very unique situation, a powerful and exciting time while being here on the earth. If you think your life is boring, you have completely missed God. It is a time for us to exercise our God-given right to choose, to make some incredible choices. Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. I have been attacked in my body. I'm fighting the good fight right now, even as we speak. And you know what I say? I choose life.
Amen.
I exercise my right to choose, and I choose life. I will live and not die.
Amen.
I choose life. Absolutely. And blessing. I choose blessings.
Amen.
I think this year, I am expecting something powerful to happen. Blessings that God is giving me that I'll be able to share. Blessings. Life and blessings. Say life and blessings.
Life and blessings.
It's your call if you're going to choose that and say, oh my God, my life sucks. It's so awful. How come they have a good life? And look at them over there. Choose life. Choose life. Don't you want life? Life on the level, that life is the life of God himself. Life on the level that he lives it. Amen. Oh, do you have to go, baby girl?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Oh.
But you guys, you know what? Hey, good testimony. Next time you see me, I won't be running out. I'll be driving.
Oh, yay! Oh, I agree. Yay! We're in agreement. Arabella, come visit us. We're now meeting. Okay. Okay, sweetheart. We love you, Bella.
6 years and not driving. Everything. Be strong in the Lord.
Yay! Okay, so in case you don't know, she suffered a massive stroke like 15 years ago, maybe even longer. Massive. And this woman, who chooses never to quit, literally has only half a brain. They took MRIs and half of it is completely black, blank. And she only has half a brain. And look at her. She wrote a book and she holds down jobs. She gets around. She goes on vacation all the time. I don't know how she does it. I'm serious. Yeah. Her and her brother. They have a whole foundation and they build homes for very impoverished Mexican people in the little villages. Yeah. That's an example of someone that refused to quit. You don't even know how she was after the stroke. And look at her now. And only half. You have a full brain. What's your excuse? Amen. Oh my God! I'm so smart. Then use it. So, each of us get to determine the depth of our walk with God. You know, God doesn't have any favorites. You can be as close to God as the most holiest saint in the universe. Our character, you get determined that. Well, I was taught how to lie and I was taught how to cheat. And I saw my family do very bad things. And so I'm programmed that way. You get to choose.
Right.
You get to choose. I've seen families where half of them chose a life of abuse and addiction and everything, and the other half chose God. And you see the difference. You completely see the difference. Our personality, the quality of our life here on earth, the quality of our relationships and connections, and ultimately, and including our destiny and our fate. Just because you started poor doesn't mean you end poor. Doesn't mean that because you grew up getting nothing but, oh my God, I was so happy when I would get a C. I would run home, I got a C. Because I fell through the cracks. In fact, there was a discouragement to get smart. You think that stopped me? When we went to UCI, we were on the Dean's Honor List. How do you like them apples? Huh? You know, this world, and I'm going to talk about this next time, is going to put all kinds of limitations. No, you were born this way. You can't go there. No. Who said when God is our Father?
Amen.
Who's bringing the limitations to you? Who? You. You. Not God. And honestly, people, isn't God the only one that matters?
Yes.
That should have the last word about your life? If he says you're not a victim, then you're not a victim.
Amen.
I'll share this very quickly, and I shared it before, but I'm trying to get this so you can see it. When I was 3 and 4, I got molested by a cousin and an uncle. And then I married my first husband. And then, I took off to the convent, and I saw a lot of perversion there. I'm sorry, but I did. Everything you hear in the news, I saw firsthand, and I was only 18. And I'm like, this is weird. This is not right. Oh, my God. And I would cry when they would ring there's a bell that they would ring, and you could no longer talk. It's you are in serious violation if you talk after they ring the bell at night. And I would wait till everybody was asleep. I memorized the steps. I knew where to step so it wouldn't creak. And I would go down to the chapel and sob. Where are you, God? I came in here to serve you. So perversion, perversion, perversion. And then I married the first guy because I was so void of any knowledge or wisdom. And that seemed like a good idea. Why not? You know? He turned out to be a little pervert. The things he liked to do were way out of my league. Freaked me out. Sent me into shock even further about sex. So I made the commitment. I'm never having sex. Once I left him, I'm like, that's it. Thank God. That chapter's closed. No more sex. Then I meet Bill. A 21-year-old virgin. Waiting for his wife. Totally. And he was a fox. He was a jock. He was a football. I'm serious. There was a lot of girls. I met him. They were all over him. And he just fell in love with me. And I remember when Bill and I took off to go to Europe and we were there and he said, Eva, we need to get married. And I said, Bill, we don't have the money. I'm on a scholarship. I'm barely covering, you know, and he said, I said, my mom and dad aren't here. They're not going to know. We don't have to do anything physical because he was so, you know, he's a very good, godly person. And I said, Bill, we can't get married. And he said, Eva, he said, your mom and dad aren't here, but I'm here. He said, and I'm going to make an honest woman out of you. He said, if we have to use our last penny, if we have to borrow the money, we're getting married first. And we did. But I remember after we got married, you know, the very first time we were physical, actually, I said, God, do I have to have this part of this relationship? I don't want any. And here Bill had been waiting for his moment. He was like, hurry up, God. I can only hang on for so much longer. And here I am. I don't think I want, you know. And I told God, I said, God, do I have to have the physical? And you know what God told me? Guys, I hear from God. Develop your ears so you can hear him all the time. He loves to talk. God loves to talk and share. He has so much to share with you. So I'm asking God, God, do I have to, please? I don't want the sex part, please. You know what he told me? He said, are you going to let what those idiots did to you all those many years affect you now? Why are you bringing that trash to, I mean, Eva? I can't get any, God was saying, I can't get any better than getting you a virgin, Eva. You're starting both from scratch. And I'm like, do I have to? And that's what he told me. He said, are you going to punish Bill for what all those idiots did to you all those many years? Amen. And I said, oh my God. Oh my God. Because I realized this poor guy's been waiting. He's been chased. He's been following God. He's a little Christian. And guys, needless to say, things changed that night. I caught on really fast. And yet, but you know how many women that have been molested stopped their lives there? They were traumatized. They gave their entire life away to some idiot that destroyed them. Why? Why? So, if your relationships right now, let's say you are married and your relationship is not up to par, I urge you, my sister, start with you. Start with you. Amen. You will never change another person. Not ever. You're not God. And even God doesn't change us. Mm-hmm. He lets us decide to change. Yeah. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. And you know what, people? This is something I learned the hard way. It was a very heartbreaking day for me. The day I realized, how dare I accuse my husband of failing me and not meeting my needs without looking at what I'm doing for him. How have I failed him? I know, man. All I can do is put my glasses back on. Let me hide. Let me go to my safe place. That was so cute. You guys were like, it's like, I hope you heard that one. That's for you. But as we've learned from Adam and Eve, this is an incredibly generous gift, the right to choose. This is an incredibly generous gift from God, but it comes with great and eternal responsibilities and consequences as well. He gave that right to choose to Adam and Eve, and look at what they did. He gave that right to Satan, and look at what he did. He gave that right to us, and what are we doing? What are we doing? Do you understand? You have the power of choice. Choose your way out of the mess you're in. Choose your way out of the life you're living. One of the things that I'm going to share with you is that no one's going to come to rescue you. This is a one-man job. I'm going to help you with everything that I have, but no one's going to come to save you. This is why you will stand before God and give an account for your life. That's a fact. Why? God's not going to say, you know, Angie, stand before me. You know, your husband really failed you. And, you know, you had this and this going against you. And so I understand where you came from. No, he's going to say, what did you do with everything I gave you? I gave you the freedom of choice. I gave you my power, my spirit. I gave you salvation. I gave you joy. I gave you hope and expectation. What else could I have given you? I mean, the list is endless of what he's given us, people. Amen. Let's get it together.
Amen.
We're almost done, ladies. Please. Look at you. Some of you checking how many more pages we have. Oh, my God. Really?
No.
And including our destiny and fate. Okay, so in America, we have many freedoms. Praise God for that. But this has led us to think that we can just choose whatever we want to do, and whatever we want to be without truly consulting the Father.
Amen.
Or considering the consequences that come with us calling all the shots in our life. Remember, our time here on the earth is not infinite. It is extremely finite. Ladies, I'm 73. I was 24 yesterday. Literally, if I live wisely, I can count on 10, 15 years. Where is my life? You're going to be sitting in this seat very shortly. What happened to my life? This is why it's critically important that God is able to show you that the time to act is now. Not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Now. Tonight. So our time is extremely finite. We are here for but a mere infinitesimal period of time. The word calls our time on the earth but a blink of an eye compared to eternity. I don't know if you know that, but God in his word often refers to our life here, our time here, as a blink of an eye. Do me a favor. Blink. Blink. That's how long your life is in the eyes of God. You just lived your life. That was it. That's how fast it goes, and it will go. One day I will leave. I will leave. And I want to leave daughters of the faith.
Amen.
I want to leave powerhouses behind.
Amen.
That understood and rocked it.
Amen.
The power that God's given us people to mold children. Do you understand how critically important that is? Our time on the earth is nothing more than an introduction. I was laughing when God gave me that. He said, Eva, your time on the earth is just your introduction to your eternity. That's all it is. Our time on the earth is nothing more than an introduction, a very small chapter in the book that will carry our complete story of now and on earth and into eternity. But even though it is a minor chapter in our book, it is still of great, great significance. This chapter will determine a lot of how our eternity will play out, my sisters. So, this is the mantra God would have us proclaim for this power-packed year. This year is special. I have never experienced what I'm experiencing right now regarding this year. This year is an opportunity. God is bending down to us and saying, I will help you catch up.
Amen.
I will redeem the time that you've lost. I will renew your youth like the eagles.
Amen.
We're not going to get oldie and moldy.
That's right.
Amen.
Gosh, look, my body. Oh, my God. I basically need a crane now to sit up. Off the chair. Bill has a little gadget that he's like, okay, baby, I'm helping you get up off the chair. No. But the outside is corrupting. This planet's under a curse, and we're going to talk about all that. But our spirit should be young and beautiful and vibrant, diffusing the fragrance of God everywhere we go. Amen. You know, if people don't like being around you, what are you emanating out from your spirit? Is it rottenness? Is it moldy? Is it ancient and old? Or are you a beautiful, you know, the word compares us like little deer, like doe. They jump over the hurdles and they're in the fields and they're beautiful and precious and vibrant. You help your husbands keep young.
Amen.
Yes.
But when we're old, they're like, oh my God, she's dragging me down. Sensual, feminine, youthful, joyful. I watched this TikTok of this couple. It is the cutest thing in the world. I've sent it to you guys a couple of times. It started off as an accident. The guy was all excited, bringing up some bags up some stairs, and he tripped. It was snowing. And so it was snowing, and he trips, and he falls. And the woman goes, honey, honey, and she's carrying bags too. And in order to help her, they're a little younger, the couple. They look like maybe mid-30s. And she runs up the stairs, and she falls on him and hits him in the very sensitive part. And he goes, oh, and then they both start laughing, and they start rolling around in the snow and having fun. I want to be like that. Well, not that I want to hurt Bill. I want to be that woman that can turn anything around and laugh. It's like, oh, no, the evening's ruined. Forget it. Let's go home. No, I don't want to do this. But, honey, we're on a date. No, you've ruined it. Laugh. So our time on the earth is nothing more than an introduction, a very small chapter in the book that will carry our complete story of now on earth and into eternity. But even though it is a minor chapter in our book, it is still a great, great significance. This chapter will determine a lot of how our eternity will play out. So this is the mantra, ladies. Let's read this together, please. And please, speak it from your heart. Let God hear your conviction in your words, okay? My time... Wait, let's do it together. Okay. My time... God will not interfere with your choices. Are people going to hell every day?
Yes.
Did he stop them?
No.
Did he violate the right to choose?
No.
That's how far it goes. You can stay in a miserable life. You can stay in this mind festering with fear, anxiety, depression, self-pity, anger, all of it. And he's not going to stop it. No one is going to save you but you. You have to do the work now. You're at that place now. You're not going to be carried. God doesn't want you to be carried. You're a warrior. You're a freaking warrior. Look at Arabella. She wasn't even a strong Christian when this happened to her. They called us to the hospital and we went, and she was, oh my God, you guys, she was so just destroyed. But look at where she is now. Do you think she's waited? She'd be in a convalescent home if not dead. She's had to overcome so much, you guys. But she keeps fighting. That's who you are. And she has half a brain. I can't get over that. You all have a full brain, guys. I can't get over that. What is our excuse? Me. Dad, I don't get a spanking today. I got a C. But what about all the D's and F's? I know, but I got a C. Forward a few years later, I get born again. I start walking with God, and we're on the Dean's Honor List at UCI. Never would I ever have thought I would go to college, ever. It was so foreign to me. And we did. And I met my husband there. My little virgin husband. I still can't get over that. It's so beautiful to me. God is so good. Okay, we're almost done, I promise. Caution. Let us not confuse our knowing spiritual things versus doing spiritual things. Let us not think that because we know the word or we attend church that we are okay with God. Because for God, this is what matters. James 1:21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And the one part, baby, that you need saving is in your soul. That's where all the problems are, right here. In between these two ears. We think we have a world of problems. No, the only problem is here.
That's right.
It's your perspectives. It's how you see things.
That's right.
This is where you're setting all the limitations. But number 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Just because you know a scripture doesn't mean anything, anything at all. Mm-hmm. Did you know that Satan knows scripture?
Mm-hmm.
Does it do him any good?
Mm-hmm.
No. Just because you go to church, just because you hear the word, just because you may be reading the word, it's until you do. Until you do. Deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. That's the thing, people. It's when you read your Bible and you're not a doer of the word, you're completely deceiving yourself, saying, oh, I'm okay. I know many scriptures. I can quote the word. But if you know one scripture and you're doing it, God's going to approve. You may know a million scriptures and not do any of them. You're deceived. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, continue in the word, people, continue in church, continue with God, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed. That means supremely blessed. I apologize. There's going to be a little typos here. I don't know what happened to my computer, but it became dumb. It wouldn't correct the misspellings. And I was typing so fast, and I'm like, what? It was changing things before my eyes. I'm sorry. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed, supremely blessed, by extension, fortunate, well off, that should be well off, blessed and happy in what he does. We want to be blessed in what we do. Amen?
Amen.
Consult, oh, this quote. Oh, this one's a good one. Consult not your fears, but your hopes.
Amen.
And your dreams. Think not about your frustrations, but about your unfulfilled potential.
Amen.
Concern yourself not with what you tried and failed in, but with what is still possible for you to do.
Amen.
Stop looking at the past. Look forward. What's my potential? What's my potential? I started seeing women ministers, women praying for the sick, women going in the mission field. And I started saying, what's my potential? If they can do it, I can do it. What's your potential? What kind of power do you carry? What are the gifts and talents that you carry that God gave you? God gave you. Do we not owe it to a holy God that put all these presents, these blessings, these treasures in us to do something with them? And then, what you get by achieving your goals is not as important as what you become by achieving your goals. And God's word is his goals for our lives, people. Remember, your life is about becoming. Stop focusing so much about achieving, you know, this great life. Become. And out of that becoming, you will build a powerful life.
Amen.
That won't own you, by the way. You will own it.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, it's time to take the veils off, my sisters. God told me to give you this scripture. Take the veil off and stand naked before your God. And say, God, I've done good here. I tried here, but I have stopped, or I quit, or whatever. But be honest with God. By the way, if you see anyone that's a great person, that's also a godly person, they did this. They did all this work. There's no shortcuts. It's the same field with the track. They ran their race. I'm running my race. Pastor's running a race. Are you going to run your race? Oh, no answers. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. When you look in the mirror, start seeing the glory of God. Start seeing your glorious being. Amen. And then the last quote. I love this one. Be miserable or motivate yourself. Whatever has to be done, it's always your choice. Be miserable. Or motivate yourself. Snap out of it. Amen. Okay. The page on the other side is for your journal. A journal. We're going to start tracking ourselves. If you decide to continue with me in this journey that we're in, fill that out and bring it with you next time. Think about it. Pray about it. It'll be probably a month and a half before we meet again, maybe even two. But think about it. Fill it out. I mean, really ponder it. The first one is, if our time on the earth is to prove who we've chosen to be, then who are you going to choose to be? Who are you going to choose to be? And don't, oh, I want to be very, no, just let it be the inside. Okay? Let it be the inside.